pleased to be joined with the mayor as a co-host this morning. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning. How are you doing today?
Well, I've got a tickle in the throat right when we get started. Go figure.
Let me drink some of that hot tea you've got right there.
Yeah, I'm going
to. Maybe to take your allergy medicine or something like that.
This happens, you know, it's like a, and then it gets in your head. And then you're like, you almost make it worse, I think. I don't know if that's true or not, but I feel like it is. And now, I've had this happen, like, when I was calling a game once. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was up in Ravenna. And thankfully, I had a color guy with me, a color commentator. And I was just like, you got to go. Like, I can't talk. And it took me like 5 minutes to get rid of it. I had to, like, really? Walk away from the whole broadcast. And I don't even know what he did. He probably sat there and thought, I don't know what the heck you're supposed to do. So hopefully it doesn't take that long.
Well, just in case it's nothing but me talking for the next 5 minutes, North Platte, you'll know what happened.
You'll know why.
Tanner had to walk away.
Good morning. Happy Thursday already. How about that?
That's right. It is Thursday. We're one day closer to Friday.
That's right. We are a short work week and we're chilly outside, dare I say.
It is a little bit chilly out there. What's interesting, though, there's not too far from where Terry and I live. There is a pretty significant cornfield out there on the west end of North Platte. And they always say, you know, corn should be knee high by the 4th of July. And it looks to me like that corn's about more like waist high right
yeah.
now. So I think we have a good growing season, at least right around the city going anyway.
I walked through a cornfield just this past weekend. I went home on Monday and I had to, my dad said, well, walk in and see if that pivot is stuck in this tower. Tower 6. He wanted to make sure it was stuck and it wasn't a different problem. So we walked through and yeah, it was, I mean, in spots up to my shoulders and knee high by 4th of July is, I don't know when that was ever a thing because it's not been one in a long time. I mean, if you're knee high at this point, you're a little behind the eight ball. So
yeah. That's my thought as well.
Your time and temp here brought to you by Grease Monkey 808, currently 56 and overcast. It's actually, I love these beautiful mornings like this. Feels like a fall morning. And we do have a 40% chance of showers and storms today, mainly after 11 a.m. It will be cloudy. It's going to kind of stick around, but a high of 73, a little bit warmer than yesterday. Otherwise, about the same with maybe a rainfall somewhere in there. There is showers and thunderstorms likely tonight, again, after 1 a.m. Again, this Thursday rain. We've had rain or snow on Thursdays, I think, more often than not this year. It
really?
Seems like. Yeah, whenever you come in on the, when you co-hosted some of your Thursdays, it was always snowing. I remember that.
That's right. And that did happen quite a bit,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah. Now it's raining. They're in the night, though. You probably won't see them. You'll probably be sleeping. Cloudy, 59. Tomorrow, 78. A little bit warmer again. Maybe see some storms in the morning. And then 78 sun Saturday, 80 Sunday, 89 Monday and Tuesday. We warm up like 3 or 4 degrees every single day, all the way up till 89 by Monday. So get back to a little bit more seasonal temperatures by next week. But man, is it, we're kind of playing with fire right now, and I love it. Let's keep that going. 56 again currently outside. Let's talk. We got the UNL Lincoln Logan McPherson County Extension coming in here in just about 15 minutes. But first, let's recap City Council. You guys had it a day later. That was probably a little different for you, right?
Well, it was okay, but it was kind of interesting because a lot of us plan our schedules around regularly scheduled meetings.
Right.
I mean, not just if you're on city council, but if you do anything and you have regular scheduled meetings, you tend to plan your time. And so I thought, well, it's makes sense to just move the meeting one day since we would normally have met on the 4th of July and people obviously would want to be doing other things on that day. And so we had a little discussion a couple meetings ago about what possible day to move it to. And Councilman Reeker was out of town yesterday. And so we were trying to find a day that would accommodate, you know, having the whole council there. And long story short, we weren't able to do that because people proposed different days. Oh, nope, I'm gone. Nope, I'm gone. And anyway, so we had the next day and it worked out just fine. We had 7 of the council members there and the meeting took about an hour and a half and it was a good meeting. Probably the interesting thing on the consent agenda is something that was just put through as a micro TIF application. And you might recall micro TIF is something that can be used to improve, let's call it smaller properties, not necessarily, but it's not something that's going to do a huge shopping center or something like that. It's usually just isolated to a single property or maybe two or three. Anyway, to further improve some downtown housing, basically, or second level housing. And micro-TIF, the way that statute as it sets today is written, the city councils are required to approve it. So that's why we put it on the consent agenda. The law did change a little bit with the last legislative session, and I think in mid-August, the new law goes into effect, and then I think you'll see those back on the regular agenda for approval. It also contains some other provisions about what TIF can and can't do in that law, but we'll talk about those some other day.
Okay. All right. So, excuse me, consent. So what if one of those items doesn't, you all of a sudden get a flip and somebody doesn't like that? You can't patch everything in one then, right? How does it work?
Well, what happens is any council member can pull an agenda item off the consent agenda for further discussion or clarification. And we see that, I don't know, probably one meeting every month, somebody pulls something off to because they have a question about it or one of their constituents is called to say, hey, what is this really doing or what does this mean? And so the council will have some discussion to clarify whatever the question is. In that case, we vote on that item separately.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Talking with the mayor here as we're recapping city council meeting last night on the regular agenda. I know there were some housing things. First off, you had a third and final reading, I believe, on an ordinance to extend the 2-mile extraterritorial jurisdiction on the southwest side of town.
That is correct. So that's been on the last night's and the preceding two agendas. And so now in a couple of weeks when that ordinance goes into effect, then the extraterritorial line would be extended about 2 miles or not extended about, it's actually about a half mile that it's actually extended. But it's done to bring in the neighborhood that's being proposed out there in Southwest North Platte, okay, which would be in the county, not in the city. But prior to this, the zoning line could have run through the middle of the neighborhood, which means you would have had one set of houses with one set of rules and a different set with a slightly different set of rules. It just doesn't make logical sense.
So does that make them that whole area part of the city now?
No, it does not. Okay. There's not been annexed. It's just the zoning area, which is a 2-mile zone around the city. Cities maintain those, not unique to North Platte. Almost every big city does this, or a town of any size does this. They maintain that zone and require the folks that are building in that zone to adhere to the city zoning standards. The theory being that at some point, that portion of the area would be annexed. Gotcha. And when the annexation occurs, then you don't have a bunch of zoning issues inside what was annexed if you're already part of the zoning. Does not require anybody who lives in that zone to change anything about their house or their property. Anything that's sitting there is grandfathered in.
Gotcha. Mayor Kelleher here with us as we recap last night's city council meeting. A couple more public hearings on some ordinances. It looked like some items around town.
That's right. I always like to give Judy Clark, the planning administrator, kind of a bad time because when she has all these meetings.
Her name's at the bottom of all these.
Exactly. Exactly. We have lots of public hearings and public hearings are an important part of city council. And you not only are we required to do them, but it's important because sometimes people don't have an opportunity to comment on what's going on in their government. And if you come to a public hearing, you can stand up and comment about the subject of the public hearing. I don't think we had just a very small number of comments last night, maybe 3 or 4 throughout the whole night. But sometimes, as you recall, we've had quite a bit of commenting during public hearings. And I know the council and everyone appreciates hearing from folks on their thoughts. But a lot of the things that we talked about last night were a little bit on the, let's call them, mundane side, the amount of property changes and things like that. One of the kind of interesting ones is the Cochran replat and annexation out on West 18th Street. And what's happening there is some folks are changing some, replatting some property, basically. And the way that the rules are written is that if you're replatting a piece of property that abuts the city, you need to request annexation. And so you should expect to be annexed in that scenario. And so that's the annexation on that property. I don't know that the person that owns the property plans to develop anything, but I think they may be thinking that if they make these changes, then someone will come along and build houses there or something along those lines. I think that's their thinking.
Very good. I saw another one that was for had blight and substandard. I haven't heard those buzzwords for a while. Well, what study was it?
Been a good month and a half. The Deacons, I believe it's Deacons Point Redevelopment, which is kind of the area that's on the west end, or excuse me, east end of Phillips Street, and directly east of Bicentennial. And the folks that own that property wanted to have it declared blight and substandard, which is always a challenging word in our climate, and nobody likes to have their area declared blight and substandard, even though it really has no effect on their land. It makes it more developable, which I don't think is probably really a word, but that's the net effect of it, and basically makes it eligible for tax increment financing to be used on that spot. So that's what the council was doing with that last night. And then in another area that was declared blight and substandard many, many years ago, by many, many, I think it was 2016, which doesn't seem like it should be that long ago, but it was rapidly approaching 8 years ago. And that is out on West A Street, basically right north of Eisenhower School, kind of out in your neck of the woods a little bit there. Mm-hmm. And that area, it's got an exciting housing development being put in place by a company called New Haven. And they're out of Lincoln. And if you watch the council meeting, you can see they show pictures of some of the houses there and the condos they're getting ready to build out there.
Oh, very good.
It'll be pretty cool. Some of the houses will have, since they will typically be built slab on grade houses, in the center core of the house, they're building an all concrete structure in there, which is a storm shelter, which I think is a pretty nice thing to have in this part of the country, as the storms seem to be getting a little more damaging in some areas. And so having a nice tornado shelter built into your house because you don't have a crawl space, I think is a really good thing.
Ah, very good. Yeah, never heard of that before.
And New Haven is planning to build a total of, I think it's 242 or 248 homes out there over the next 6 or 7 years.
Wow. Awesome. Yep, yep.
And very good. Some of them will be triplexes, some of them will be condos, and there will be some single family homes too. So we should see them starting on that project likely in August.
There should be a fair amount of construction on housing going up in the next couple of years, it seems.
That's right. And Councilwoman Tryon asked the question, you know, all the apartments that are coming up and all the things that are going on in the construction role right now, how many housing units does that add to our community? And I kind of did the math quickly in my head, and I said, well, it's probably in the vicinity of 450 if we look at everything that's been done over the last roughly 3 years, which is a pretty great number. But that's when they get done. New Haven, for example, there won't be done for 5 or 6 more years.
Right.
And of course, Dial Properties is planning to build a lot of apartments directly to the west of where New Haven is building, you know, where the new apartments are there right now, more of the same. And that would be 120 units, but I think their timeline is roughly 3 years. So many of these housing units we won't see really in production. We'll probably be down under 300 here for the next couple of years, unless we get some more housing going.
Mayor Kelleher, recapping last night's city council meeting, anything else on there worth mentioning?
That was about it for the exciting things from the council meeting last night.
All right, very good. You're going to stick around and co-host, right?
That's right. I wouldn't want you to go into a coughing fit and then no one could talk.
I appreciate that. I think I got it cleared out for now. We're going to take a time out. When we return, we'll talk to the extension. More coming up on Mugs in the Morning, brought to you by Shelter Insurance Agents P. Bowles and Brent Rogo, Community Strong, all day long on your Thursday, July 6th, here on KODY. Welcome back on Husker Radio's Mugs in the Morning on KODY 1240 AM 106.1 FM, brought to you by Shelter Insurance Agents Pete Bowles, Brent Rogo for Life Renters Motorcycle, RV, ATV, Boat Umbrella, Farm and Business Insurance. They can do it all at the Shelter Guys of North Platte. 8:35 here, Tanner Struckman with Mayor Brandon Kelleher with us on this Thursday, July 6th. Doesn't really feel like a early July day, though. And won't later in the day either. It's kind of unbelievable. In fact, I found something interesting, Mayor, that June globally was the hottest June we've ever had. And I felt like locally, it was one of the coolest Junes I can remember.
We had some of the most beautiful weather in Nebraska. Seriously. In June, at least in this part of the state anyway. Obviously, it's Nebraska, so we can have gorgeous weather out here. And
right.
Lincoln can have something completely different. And speaking of Lincoln, did you know that our fair governor is going to be here today?
That's right. Yes, he's going to be out at the airport 9:45,
I believe. He does his fly arounds from time to time.
Boy, I tell you what, be one of them. That is a fly around too. He got five stops and he's done by four. I mean, that last one's at four. So I think I had it in our newscast. I don't remember where the first one was.
Columbus, I think.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. And I knew, yeah, that was like an hour ago. Mm. And so he's probably en route to North Platte right now.
Probably so.
Probably. Yeah. I would imagine with a trip like that, he arrives about 10 minutes before he's supposed to speak. And then he gets back on the plane and goes to the next. Because, yeah. He's all over the state.
I think that's true. And you know, folks, if you'd like to hear him, you can come out to the airport. They let folks back by their meeting room kind of on the west end of the airport. And, you know, sit there and listen to the governor. There's usually 30, 40 people there.
Yeah.
In the past, when Governor Ricketts has done these, that's typically the attendance. So,
yeah. So head on out there. 9:45, you can hear Governor Jim Pillen talk. And he's got some big topics to talk about. I think there's some pretty positive things he wants to go over out there at the airport. So
one of his main initiatives that he's going to talk about today happens to do with a rural broadband or basically getting, you know, good, reliable, high speed internet service to rural areas, which is something that we need to be cognizant of in our area, because obviously we're not our city, of course, but the surrounding area would be considered to be quite rural. And it amounts to running fiber optic to a lot of the ranches and farms that are in the area. And so they have really good service. And, you know, for education purposes, even TV and phone service, a lot of people are using fiber nowadays.
Right.
And it's something that's important to our state. We don't want to be behind the other states or have our folks missing educational opportunities because they don't have fast enough internet.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty neat stuff there. So I could have used that at living on a farm, you know, 20 years ago, for sure. Mm-hmm. The internet was dial up and it was not fast.
No, it was not. So how far away was your family's farm from town?
Well, town was Brule, so it was pretty small in itself, but about 10 miles south of Brule, out in the Brule area. So yeah, it was pretty rural. And I remember getting internet for the first time, and it, you know, the old, and then you couldn't be on it because you were taking up the phone line.
Yeah.
You know, and mom and dad were like, well, we're missing phone calls, so get off the internet. You couldn't get on there too long without them noticing that you were on it. So the good old days back
in the dial-up internet.
Yeah,
days, kid, that's kid, right.
Kids don't realize what they have now. And nor do I. I take advantage of it just as much as my kids do. I'll make that very clear. Hey, I got to ask you, too. You know, we just had 4th of July. I don't know if there's any point to this hypothetical, but I'm curious. If the storms were going to be terrible on Tuesday night, would there have been any way to say, hey, you can light fireworks off on Wednesday?
The ordinance that governs the use of fireworks has some pretty specific time frames on it.
I figured it did.
And so in order to do that, the city council would have to adjust the ordinance. And so is it technically possible? Well, technically. But we would have to know 2 or 3 days out that there's going to be these serious storms on that night,
right,
in order to have the council meet in an emergency way and make an adjustment.
I kind of figured it would probably take at least, would it take just one meeting, or
it could be done theoretically in one meeting.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I wondered, I was just curious. I was thinking about that all weekend, and I don't know if they can move that or not now. Obviously the rain held out. It actually worked out really, really well.
Yeah, it ended up being a beautiful night. Terry and I went out to the Plainsman baseball game.
Yeah.
To watch most of the baseball game. And so we didn't stay for the fireworks because, you know, our mornings start pretty early. So we went home and listened to the neighborhood fireworks instead. But unfortunately, we did not get the apple pie out there this year. So, but it was a little cool. It wasn't really apple pie weather.
Yeah, not at all. It was blanket and sweatshirt weather, which is, again, and I read somewhere, I shouldn't quote this because I don't know if it was 100% accurate, but it kind of goes along with the June hottest month theme here, that the 4th of July this year was one of the warmest 4th of Julys globally ever recorded. Now, I don't know how far back these recording temperatures go. I don't know how long they've been recording temperatures, but I thought if that's true, that's pretty interesting because that was one of the colder 4th of Julys I can remember.
Yeah, my mother tells, my mother remembers a time, and she's lived in this vicinity her whole life, of a time where it actually snowed on the 4th of July.
Really?
Not to the point it stuck, but it actually was snowing, falling from the air.
And wow.
I don't know what year that was. I'll have to ask her if she can remember, but it would have been sometime in the last, you know, 50, 60 years, somewhere in there.
Wow.
So anyway, But let's talk about what's going on in North Platte.
Yeah, and there is a lot, and we kind of thought maybe we could gloss over a few of the big things here, maybe some of the latest things that are going on, and just get updates, because we haven't talked about sustainable beef much on the air. We haven't talked about the rec center on the air much. Chris Bruns has been in quite a bit to talk about the Inland Port, although we haven't talked about that in a couple weeks. So I thought we could maybe just get kind of the I know these take a long time to, these are big projects, multi-year long projects, but maybe just give us the latest on what you know and where the updates are, and including our nice brand new mall, outdoor mall that we have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have to remember as we talk about these that success or excitement build on each other. So you get one thing going, and then something else happens, and it grows.
We've certainly seen it. Works. Yeah.
That's how you grow your community. So sustainable beef, if you've been out by there, you might have noticed that there's some walls up. Not a lot of walls, but they're starting to put walls up. I spoke with David Briggs last week. We talk once every 2 or 3 months about kind of what's going on and what needs to be done. And they're looking at having a largely built facility by the end of 24.
There you go.
So at the end of next year, the facility would be largely constructed. And I think they're then be going into various stages of operations. And I don't know the details of their plans. That's for them to share. But anyway, the facility should be built pretty much over the next year to year and a half, which is very exciting for North Platte. Of course, it's up to 875 jobs. Their Walmart is a minority partnership. And when you think about that a lot of people had some mixed feelings about Walmart being in partnership with that facility. But it's probably one of the very best things that could have happened. The reason is that one of the big concerns, I see you looking at me skeptically, so let me explain that real quick. One of the important things about that is, with a smaller beef plant like that, which is a fantastic idea, rancher owned, it had the opportunity to have a huge economic effect, and not only on the city for jobs, but also for the area, beef growers, feeders, etc. I mean, fantastic economic opportunity. But one of the risks of that, every opportunity has some risks, and one of the risks of that was that the big four beef producers could come along and try to price that entity out of the business. And no, we'll never know if that would have happened. I mean, we'll never know. But by partnering with Walmart, and Walmart has a minority share, now Walmart has a bigger distribution system than all four beef producers combined.
Wow. Well, that's pretty good.
So you know what? That's like skipping two steps ahead in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a fantastic and brilliant move. And it will be a great benefit for our community, because Walmart has a distribution center here, as you know, and they've been a great partner in our town. Mm-hmm. They do lots of great things for our community. Mm-hmm. They help with the backpack program and probably lots of things we don't even know about.
Right.
So it is going to be truly a game changer for our town.
That's a nice chip in your back pocket to have with Walmart. I mean, that also, like you said, that makes people probably steer clear of trying to do any damage or trying to, hurt what we have going on locally.
It's certainly possible. Of course, things change over time.
Yeah.
And we'll see how this develops over the next few years. But it is a tremendous opportunity for our community, and I'm so happy to have it going on, and it's successfully growing, or the building is successfully growing out there right now.
Do you anticipate any changes traffic-wise to those roads out there? I mean, I know they're getting a lot of traffic right now, and I know we're getting some new developments out on that exit. Do you anticipate down the road to have to grow that road?
We certainly do, and the Newberry Access is technically a state highway, so it's somewhat purview of the state to do that. But it's on their map. The local Nebraska Department of Transportation folks are well aware of what's going on out there, and we speak about moving up the timeline for widening that road and things like that. And right now, I guess the best way to say it is it's in discussion. We don't really know what's going to happen. And to some extent, you have to look at that and think, well, let's see what really happens when it's in operation.
Yeah.
But I think with the exciting Wilkinson development that's going in out there with the new truck stop, with the 100 or so trucks a day they'll be in out of there with the beef plant, it certainly is an opportunity to make that road safer by widening it.
Talking with Mayor Brandon Kelleher here, getting updates on some of the bigger projects in our area. Another big one, obviously, that folks are excited about, that's maybe even a little bit longer term, is the rec center project. What's the latest on that? I feel like I haven't talked about that in probably at least a month.
The latest on the Rec Center project is that the Rec Center team is working with the architects. And by the Rec Center team, I mean the city team. So the Bob Barr, Lyle, Lane Gross, the city administrator, Brent Berkland, kind of working with the architects to get the basic footprint of the Rec Center design on there and make sure that that basic footprint is within the affordability cost. As you know, we have a set amount of money. We're not going over that amount of money. So we have a set amount of money to spend on this. And that's where we are. And we've seen some it's one step above coffee shop napkin drawings on what would go in there. You know, there's some basic, well, this is kind of how it could work with gyms here and pools here and, you know, that kind of stuff. And it's very important to us that we stay within this cost model. And so we don't want to get out and release things into the public that, you know, we have $45 million to spend on this, you know, give or take a couple hundred thousand dollars. And we don't want to release a $60 million picture and then have to say, well, sorry, we're not going to do that. Instead, it's going to look like this.
Yeah.
And so we're being very cost conscious as we move into this project. And so that is, I don't know, it's not going to extend the timeline, but it requires a lot of upfront work, where if you had unlimited budget, you might not have that as much upfront work.
Gotcha.
Well, we have a limited budget, so we're doing the upfront work right now. And all the gentlemen that I just mentioned, they're doing a fantastic job. The rec center, the Cody Pool committees, they met probably about a month and a half ago, kind of got the history of how we got to where we are today. They did some tours of those facilities. Those folks seem to be very engaged. And as soon as we get a likely design footprint, which again will be simple drawings, but we'll basically say, well, the gyms will be here and the pools will be here and here will be some of the add-ons. Then we'll release, get back together with those committees, getting their input, and we'll share that with the public at that time. We anticipate that being sometime in early August.
Okay. Very good. Very good. And I know that they put out, obviously months ago, 3D rendering of what the project could look like at the Rec Center. Will it look similar to that? Is that just kind of a base model, or what was that, and what will it look different from that?
Well, certainly it's going to look different from that. But the things that were contained in the video that's online, things so far, all of those things are still in the design.
Gotcha.
Now, are they going to look exactly like they were in the video? No, they probably won't, but they'll all be there.
Right. Okay.
So the climbing wall is something. A lot of people are excited about having a climbing wall. There's probably 10 places you could put a climbing wall in a good rec center.
Throw that in anywhere.
But you want to make sure that it's in a place where people can be safe. People can fall off the wall without injuring themselves. And you also have a way to rig up the cables that hold people on there and without getting in the way of the normal traffic of the business. So there's lots of considerations about that.
Not free climbing, then, is what you're saying.
Well, there might be some free climbing to a relatively low elevation. People like you and me need to be able to fall off and not go to the ER immediately after.
Yeah, good news is it's close by.
That's right. It's not too far away.
I'd like to see the end games of things. So is that 20? What year is I know that's even, can you even give a year on when that would be open to the public?
Well, we're in 23 now. We anticipate the reconstruction of the rec center to take somewhere between a year and 18 months.
Okay.
So we're looking at sometime in 25 at this point, probably.
Good. Well, that'll be here before we know it. That's not too far away. A couple of years. And man, is this it? Are you excited about what this will look like? Everything in town will look like in 3 years. I mean,
well, we're going to have some really great buildings. The Rec Center is going to be a fantastic looking building. I mean, it's a big warehouse, but Sustainable Beef will be a great big building. Obviously, District 177 looks far better than maybe the mall area has ever looked at this point. Well, it's kind of under construction, but when they get all done, it will be just a tremendous improvement to our community. So we've done a lot of things over the last few years, and the town continues to grow. We haven't really talked about our possibilities out there on the rail park in the Inland Port Authority. We'll leave that to our friends in the county to talk about and Gary Pearson, but there's some exciting things that are moving around out there too.
Absolutely. We'll take a final break here on Mugs in the Morning, 8:50, and we'll come back and wrap it up here on this Thursday, July 6th edition here on this cloudy Thursday, July 6th. Outside temperature right now, as we see overcast skies, sitting at 56 degrees. More coming up to wrap up Mugs after this.
It's summertime in the Canteen District. Take a stroll and check out the unique boutiques and restaurants. Be sure to visit our calendar page at downtownnp.com for a list of fun events happening this season. Shop, dine, unwind in the Canteen District, downtown North Platte.
I wanted to quit for so long, but I didn't know where to start.
I was afraid of what people would think, but then I found the right support to start my recovery journey. 1 in 14 Americans reports experiencing a substance use disorder, a treatable medical condition. Treatment can take many forms, so there are a variety of options to explore and find the one that works best for you. Recovery from drug addiction is possible.
Paid for by the CDC. Sponsored by Nebraska DHHS. Aired with the Nebraska Broadcasters Association and this station.
When you're back from the beach, Dr. Deb wants to remind you about school physicals, also called pre-participation physicals. Sports physicals are a great way to make sure an athlete can safely play, even if your school doesn't require it. Sports physicals also help to keep immunizations up to date and provide an opportunity to discuss any concerns you may have. Dr. Deb's Express Medical Care in North Platte, where they treat you like family. Just one block east of KFC on C Street in North Platte.
Get ready for summer with 11% off everything now at Menards. Attract a wide variety of your favorite birds to your feeder with quality KT bird food blends. KT premium blends offer superior nutrition that will keep them coming back. Right now, pick up a 14-pound bag of Midwest Blend wild bird food for only $20.99 after 11% off. Good through July 9th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
The following takes place in an office at Bruce Furniture.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Laura. How are things in accounting?
Well, I think we've made a big mistake.
A mistake?
With our furniture financing offer.
What's wrong with it? If a customer doesn't have quite enough on hand to get what they really want, we always try to help them just finance the difference with a little approved credit.
Yes, but we're still offering them zero interest. We haven't stopped offering zero interest after inflation hit, like everyone else. So we're still paying the interest on our customers' financing.
I know.
You know?
I've kept it that way on purpose, Laura. We pay the interest for our customers.
But Michael, that hurts our profit.
I know.
You know.
At Bruce Furniture, we make a little less to make it possible for our customers to get what they really want.
Wow. Well, you're the boss.
Don't worry, Laura. It's little things like this that make everyone come to Bruce Furniture in the first place.
Get the furniture that you really want at Bruce Furniture.
Online at brucefurniture.com.
Jansen Chrysler Jeep Dodge, just north of the interstate between the exits. Or see their inventory at jansenchryslerjeepdodge.com. That's jansenchryslerjeepdodge.com. Earning your trust one customer at a time.
This year, we considered hiring an ad agency to help with our marketing.
They pitched impressive visuals and a script that was inspiring.
And exotic animal mascots to help grab your attention.
In the end, we just decided to tell it to you straight. Shelter Insurance has award-winning customer service at affordable rates.
Plus, our local agents are there to help you understand what coverage you need.
For a no-hassle quote, visit Pete Bowles or Brent Rogo in North Platte today.
Hey, you got any gum?
Yeah, check my backpack.
What's this?
Oh, that's naloxone. It can reverse an opioid overdose. I decided to always keep it on me after my friend almost died. It saved his life.
I'm so sorry. That makes me want to have it with me too.
You totally should. Check the pharmacy. It was actually really easy to get, and it's easy to use.
I definitely will. Thanks.
Paid for by the CDC. Sponsored by Nebraska DHHS. Aired with the Nebraska Broadcasters Association and this station.
The following takes place in an office at Bruce Furniture.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Laura. How are things in accounting?
Well, I think we've made a big mistake.
A mistake?
With our furniture financing offer.
What's wrong with it? If a customer doesn't have quite enough on hand to get what they really want, we always try to help them just finance the difference with a little approved credit.
Yes, but we're still offering them zero interest. We haven't stopped offering zero interest after inflation hit, like everyone else. So we're still paying the interest on our customers' financing.
I know.
You know?
I've kept it that way on purpose, Laura. We pay the interest for our customers.
But Michael, that hurts our profit.
I know.
You know.
At Bruce Furniture, we make a little less to make it possible for our customers to get what they really want.
Wow. Well, you're the boss.
Don't worry, Laura. It's little things like this that make everyone come to Bruce Furniture in the first place.
Get the furniture that you really want at Bruce Furniture.
Online at brucefurniture.com.
Welcome back on Mugs in the Morning on KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM here, 8:55 on this Thursday, July 6th. About ready to wrap it up. Mayor Kelleher in with us, co-hosting. Appreciate Caitlin Jacobson from UNL Lincoln Logan McPherson County Extension Office for stopping by. Tomorrow, we'll be joined with Ty Lucas, who will talk about the Junior Ambassador Golf Tournament coming up later on this month. And I mentioned this yesterday, Mayor. It's been obviously great weather. It's been great golf weather for a lot of the summer.
It has been. And, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't mention some of the exciting things happening in North Platte this weekend. No, you know, we have a car show going on this weekend.
I think we got enough planned this weekend.
That's right. There's a lot going on. Of course, the powwow is going on this weekend. Yeah. And those are two events that I've, you know, had the opportunity to participate in one form or another the last couple of years. And they're very exciting. There's all sorts of things in the Canteen District as a result of the car show. And, of course, there's the typical cruises in the evening. So if you like older vehicles, you know, get out there and take a look at them. There's lots of things to see. There's, I think, some motorcycle jumping going on in the Parkade Plazas, if I understand it correctly. Mm-hmm. That was pretty exciting last year. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's got to be pretty shocking when you're going over the Jeffers Street Viaduct and suddenly there's a guy in a motorcycle right next to you. It's probably kind of shocking to some people, but it's fun to see. There's things happening in town. And if you get out to the Scouts Restaurants, there's the powwow out there. It's really colorful. There's some fantastic food. There's just lots going on in town. And later this month, we've got the Junior Ambassador Golf Tournament you just spoke about. And then towards the end of the month, my lovely wife has her event for the Public Schools Foundation.
That's right.
The Night of Recognition, I believe, is July 28th. And then they do a golf tournament the following day.
Yeah.
And lots of exciting things and great people in town that come back to North Platte during that time to see their families and see their classmates. July is a busy month in North Platte, so get out there and enjoy it.
Yeah, and the Royal Rumble, too, is out at the DNN on Saturday, and we had them in yesterday. They haven't gotten you to, like, do a celebrity boxing match?
No one has asked me. Now, there was a group that was trying to raise money to get me to take a pie in the face, but I don't think they were able to raise the money. So that either means I'm insignificant or a lot of people like me and they didn't want to give money. I'm not sure what it was, but it was a good group, and I'm sorry they didn't get their number raised. But maybe they'll try again next year.
We mentioned in our newscast that Leota Street will be closed. I think that's starting tonight.
Tonight,
at
yes.
7 p.m.
I believe, I mean, 7 or 8.
7 or 8. Right, it might there. Be 8. Yeah. 8, and it reopens at 7, I think. Is what it was.
Yeah.
Like the whole street, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's closed largely between the one-ways.
Yeah.
Because they're doing construction right there. So that intersection will be closed. And a lot of important work, storm sewer going in right there. You know, it's too bad the inconvenience, but there is no good time of year to work on that street. So we got to get it done. Of course, you know, I always say Nebraska has two seasons, construction and winter. We got to get it done this year, and then we'll move on to the next phase next year.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's not if it was a 1 month thing, probably wouldn't have been done in June and July, or, you know, probably, well, those are your months for construction, but it's not. I mean, this was a multi-month project that was going to take, I mean, it's going to take the two lanes out for a long time. There's no avoiding June and July. You have to be working in those months.
That's right. There's no question about that. And I couldn't tell you exactly when the last time that street was rebuilt, but it was probably when I was a little kid, if not before.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And so you think about it, most of us won't be around when it's redone again. So even though it's inconvenient, we're probably never going to go through this again in our lives.
Well, Mayor, thank you so much for stopping by. As always, it's good to talk to you. City Council was met last night. Good things there and good things all around town. Thanks again to Caitlin Jacobson, again with UNL Lincoln Logan McPherson County Extension Office, for joining us. You have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the 70s.
You too. There's a lot going on in July, North Platte. Get out there and enjoy it. The fair, all the things we just talked about. It's a great time to be a Nebraskan.
Yeah, rest easy today. It all starts tomorrow. There are a lot of events. Saturday is there's a lot going on Saturday. If you're not doing something, you're not trying.
That's right.
All right. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
That wraps up Mugs in the Morning here on KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM. Brought to you by Shelter Insurance Agents Pete Voles and Brent Rogo. For home, life, and auto insurance, call the Shelter Guys of North Platte. Have a great Thursday. We're back tomorrow on to wrap up the work week already. Enjoy the 73, maybe some rain today. Back tomorrow on Husker Radio's Mugs in the Morning.